Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Walking in His Word. My name is Pastor Aaron, along with my co-host, Pastor Lucas, this morning.
Hello.
And we're just kind of diving into this message. You know, we started it yesterday. We're just going to kind of dive into this amazing message called What's Love Got to Do With It? Mm-hmm. Pastor Tim is really going to dive into this today. It's going to be awesome. Just want to let everybody know, though, if you missed yesterday and you want to listen to yesterday's program, you can go find it on our YouTube page. You can find it on our website or on our podcast. You can find it every one of those places that I just mentioned. So if you missed yesterday, go ahead and I would encourage you, catch up, listen to it. And today's going to be awesome, though.
Yes, it is going to be awesome. It's been a great day so far.
Why won't it continue just to be an even better day?
I don't know. Here, I got a quick question for you, Pastor.
Okay, what's up?
What does love have to do with it?
It's got everything to do with it.
Explain that.
I think when you know, specifically we're talking about this this idea of loving God, that the church loving God. It was this church that in Revelation, they left their first love. The church in Ephesus, they left their first love. And I'm going to go back to the Bible. I tell the students all the time, I'm the youth pastor here, when I'm preaching, I say, when I'm looking for an answer to something, my favorite place to go for information is the Bible. Hmm. So I'm just going to back up a little bit in the New Testament. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Hmm. And Paul gives this little description about why love is so important. And he says, I can do all the works in the world.
Yeah.
He said, I can preach like crazy. I could travel the world, you know, doing good things. I could speak in the tongues of heaven and or angels and men. But if I don't love people genuinely, he said, I'm just a resounding gong. Mm-hmm. I'm just making noise for the sake of making noise. Mm-hmm. There's no real heart of the Father in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If I'm just out here doing things, but love has to be the central focus of why we're doing the work of the kingdom.
I agree. And I just got so much to say about this too. So, but we're going to come back after Pastor Tim preaches a little bit. I got a lot more to say.
Let's do it.
I want to talk about loving Jesus. I want to talk about leaving your first love. I want to talk about how do you rekindle your love for Jesus. The message here tells us all about that. He first reveals himself to this church in verse 1, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Now, if you read Revelation chapter 1, those stars were the angels or the messengers. That word for messenger or angel is angelos. And a lot of scholars believe that it's not an angelic being, but rather they were the messenger sent by God to the church or the pastors. And he's holding the seven stars of the seven ministers or pastors or spiritual leadership in his hand, which speaks about protection and also authority and control. And Jesus, he is as bright as the noonday sun. He reveals himself there in Revelation chapter 1. And I want you to know, during 12 noon or 1 p.m., the sky is clear and the sun is at its peak and shining brightly. Can you see the stars? No, they're there, but you can't see them. And so it is. And so that's what I want. I want Jesus to shine so brightly that you don't recognize or notice me or anybody else here, but our eyes are focused in on the one who saved us. He is worthy. Am I right about that? And the Bible says here, he reveals himself as the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And in New Testament church, listen to this. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is taken really out of Leviticus chapter 26 when God says this, I will set my tabernacle among you and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God and you shall be my people. The lampstands are the churches. Jesus is the one who walks among us in the midst of us. He's in all authority. He is the one to be glorified. And when he's walking among us, it means that he's loving us. It means he's ministering to us. It means that he is speaking to us. It means that he's having relationship with us. It means that he's the preeminent one, the principal one, the center of all things. And may Jesus Christ be the center of all things here at Cornerstone Church. Amen. I know when I was worshiping the Lord, I sensed the Lord among us. You know, he inhabits the praises of his people. I sensed the presence of the Lord, didn't you? It's awesome. So he reveals himself as the one in control, the one in authority, the one that walks among us, the one that can remove the lampstand from us because he's in charge. He's the preeminent one. And he has a message to this church. And it tells us what his message was. In other words, he says, I know your works, right? In verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience. He says, I know you've labored. I know you've tested those. And so he's talking about some good qualities of this church. They worked for the Lord. They had spiritual discernment because they tested apostles or those that said they were apostles and found them to be liars. They had to have spiritual discernment to do that. They persevered and endured and had not grown weary. Now, this was written in AD 96. This church had been in existence for approximately the same time as Cornerstone Church. And in the midst of all those years, in the midst of great revival, in the midst of great persecution, in the midst of the ups and downs of life and the passage of time, they had not grown weary in working for the Lord, laboring for the Lord, developing spiritual discernment, standing fast for the Lord. So this was quite the, what I would call the commendation, not the condemnation, but the commendation, right? And they hated what God hated. Like it says there in verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. So they weren't hating the people, but the deeds of the people, right? The Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, I did a lot of study on the Nicolaitans. Some say that it was a sect formed out of Acts chapter 6. One of the first deacons was a man named Nicholas. And, of course, he turned away from the Lord, and a sect grew up around him that was not right before God. There's a lot of thoughts or theories or opinions about the Nicolaitans, what they represented, but I came up with this one. It was Clement of Alexandria who once said about the Nicolaitans, they abandoned themselves to pleasure like goats, leading a life of self-indulgence. It has been associated with loose living, immorality, perversion, maybe even in the name of grace, maybe a kind of libertine license, but they rightly hated it. So the Nicolaitans were a group that maybe took the grace of God and twisted it as approval to sin, as an encouragement to sin. As God loves me, I can live any way I want. They had immoral behavior, compromise, idolatry. It's no wonder that this church hated that. That's not for us. When we get saved, we turn from a lifestyle of immorality, of compromise, of spiritual wickedness. We turn from a lifestyle of loose living. You know, he's called us to a life of holiness and separateness unto the Lord. Am I right about that? Be ye holy, for I am holy, right? The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so when God saves us, we turn from our sins, we turn to God. He works in us, and he delivers us from ungodliness and worldly passions and causes us to a life of obedience and transformation. And then we begin to delight in his will. We delight to do his commandments. We love or have holy affections for the things of God. Somebody say amen. So this church hated the very thing that God hated. What a great church. Working for the Lord, spiritual discernment, patience, perseverance, endurance, hating what God hates. What a great, great church. But if that's all that it was, then it was missing something. And that's what the Lord says. I have something against you. You've fallen. You've left your first love. That word, the idea of left there, has the idea of walking away, abandoning, or forsaking. Christianity is first and foremost a love relationship. It's more than doctrine, more than service, more than Bible studies. It's loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
I was listening to this professor at a college talk about grading papers. And as professor at a, you know, college, a high-level education experience, I think he is like a graduate level.
Okay.
Babel teacher.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's an expected level of excellence and knowledge.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When it comes to writing papers. And so he, as professor, is just, you know, shoulder deep into study.
Yeah.
And that's how he grades a lot of his papers, is just study, doctrine, theology, wisdom. It's just really, these things are just, it's all part of it. It just really becomes your identity.
Right.
And he had a student turn in a paper, and immediately he could tell, this is not up to par.
Okay.
It's not the type of paper that would pass his class.
Right.
But as the professor, he's got to read it and grade it. So he's reading it. And the student is writing very different from all his other students that he's ever had.
Wow.
This student is pouring out his heart as he's talking about Jesus.
Mm.
It's so much heart in this paper that the professor starts to cry.
Wow.
And he hears the Holy Spirit speak to him and say, I wish you wrote like this more often.
Wow. Dang.
And he says, I can get confused and misled in thinking that wisdom and knowledge and study is my number one pursuit.
Right. Dang.
And I realize it's not.
Man.
That love is my highest pursuit.
Come on.
And this paper that would not pass my class,
yeah,
is good enough for God. What's up with that?
Man.
He just starts crying. And the paper's so good as far as a heart level.
Right.
He's crying. Now he's feeling convicted. So he's starting to feel emotional based upon the Holy Spirit poking at him.
Yeah.
And he had to stop. And he had to just repent. And he had to just say, God, I need to get back to love.
Mm.
Being my number one pursuit.
Man, that's so good.
And all of us can get caught up in the busyness of life and the pursuit of career and excellence and money and all these things.
Yep.
And we can miss the most important thing, love.
Come on.
What's love got to do with it?
It's got everything to do with it.
Exactly. Men, I'm happy to announce we've got our men's conference coming up.
That's
March
right.
8th and 9th. This is one of our best things that Cornerstone Church does. Hundreds of men are going to pack our sanctuary.
Oh, yeah.
Worship together. It's a powerful sound.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Check this out.
Man Up 2024 is coming March 8th and 9th. Men, you were meant for more. Man Up Conference is brought to you by Cornerstone Church and features guest speaker Ross Shear, powerful worship, and a move of God for this generation of men. To buy tickets and find out more information, go to cornerstonehighland.com/men.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.